Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word creed comes from the Latin credo, which means I believe. A creed is a summary statement of what you believe. The Christian creeds are not additions to the Bible, as some think. Rather, they seek to confess, that is to say, the same thing as what the Bible says. The truth is, God is more interesting than we are. So he did not give us an encyclopedia or an instruction book or a flow chart by which to teach the faith. He gave us the prophetic and the apostolic scriptures, books which encompass poetry, history, prophecy, parables, and even letters like today's reading. But as a result, that makes the Bible a rather unwieldy tool for answering simple and systematic questions like, who is your God? What does your religion teach? These sorts of things. That's what catechisms and confessions and the three creeds are for, to answer these questions directly and simply, to help us remember them always. And they're helpful to us as long as they always continue to drive us back into the Scriptures, because that is where the trustworthy, prophetic, and apostolic Word of God lies. Now, as far as I know, however, this term creed is still pretty specific to Christianity. And that is no surprise, because faith is a very important word for us. On the one hand, faith means the truths, the faith, the teachings that Christians hold to, and the creeds summarize these. But on the other hand, and I think actually more importantly, faith for us means trust in God's promises in Christ. We hold that faith saves, not because one has learned enough of the true facts, also not because a person believes hard enough, but because faith trusts the trustworthy and saving Lord with his promises. Christ gives himself to us in his promises, and you receive and you benefit from a promise by believing it and trusting in it. That is how faith saves. That is why St. Peter in today's epistle is so concerned about faith, even calling it more precious than gold, something that's going to last even into eternity after the end of the world. And in the course of this beautiful and little encouragement and blessing, Peter proclaims who it is our God is, who our faith is placed in, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to learn about this true God and about his creation. Tomorrow we will look deeply into the things that the prophets and the angels have longed to see, that is, Christ Jesus, his salvation, and the church that his Spirit gathers. Now, unlike the law, which we've considered in the Ten Commandments, which is to a certain degree written on our hearts, however dimly, the gospel is different. It cannot be deduced at all from this world, and we are not born with it at all. Sure, we can see God's creation, we can infer much about him from it, but that is not enough to tell us who he really is. Not for all the important questions, certainly not the most important question, I think. Is this God for us, or is he against us? By observation alone, many have come to the conclusion that God is either everywhere in creation, pantheism, that God is nowhere in creation, deism, or even that there is no God. Only the universe exists, materialism, and atheism, which is close with it. The corruption of sin extends into the world, not just in our hearts. That means that we cannot know God fully from it alone. If we want to learn theology, then, that is, if we want to study or simply to say words about God, which almost everybody dares to do, if we want to do it rightly, we are going to have to echo and repeat what God himself says to us, what he says about himself. And this is what Christians mean when they confess creeds. To confess means to echo, to say the same thing, and to repeat what God has said about himself. It's the reason that the revelation of the Holy Scriptures is so necessary and treasured by us. We cannot imagine or feel or reason or observe our way to God. No, he reveals himself to us by his word, by all of those prophets that the Holy Spirit was inspiring, which Peter mentions, ultimately in Jesus Christ, as we say in that little verse from Hebrews that we utter before the sermon. Now, besides that God is the creator, the creed takes up the matter of who this true God is. He is the Holy Trinity. That word Trinity is not a word that you will find in the Bible. But the truth that the word has been made up to express, the truth itself, is certainly taught in the Scriptures. We find it most bluntly stated at the end of Matthew's Gospel, the only place in the Bible where this name is even mentioned directly. But it comes at the institution of holy baptism, which is the possession of all Christians. That is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name, yet three names. Thus, Trinity, tri-unity. Three in one. Now, the best confession of the Holy Trinity is found in the Athanasian Creed, which we sang today. Now, at first glance, that creed seems very long, repetitive, complicated then, right? But at further glance, and at further use, I might add, it is quite poetic. It is full of wonderful patterns and a rhythm, and it is comforting. It's not a scientific study. It's not a math equation. It's not a diagram. It's not a catalog of verses, even. It is a song that teaches us and tells everyone about our God, who he is, and that He is our Savior. Now, it begins with an ominous but a necessary warning that our age needs to hear, that there is only one true God, and that means that not all routes or religions lead to Him. It is possible, then, to pray, to confess, to have faith, to be religious, and yet not to be saved. Remember that faith saves because it trusts in the promises of Christ. Who you believe in makes all the difference. But to the Christian who knows Christ, to the one who's baptized into that triune name, this creed is not designed to frighten you at all, and it shouldn't. Listen again to the key statement. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. We worship Him. We trust in Him. We belong to Him. We love Him. And this name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was given to us at our baptism. Salvation does not come through deep, wizened understanding, comprehending, or then summarizing God, making the Creator manageable, which would be really foolish. We wish to know Him fully. We wish to love Him more. Salvation, thankfully, comes by His knowing and loving and saving and keeping us. And that is why we delight to get to know Him more. We gladly confess. We repeat the incomprehensible truths that are outside of our experience or anything else we've ever seen or thought. There's no one else like this. No one else like the Holy Trinity. But chiefly, that's because there is no one else who saves as He does. Now, the language of the church, like we have in these creeds, is helpful to confess in a simple way what the Scriptures reveal throughout. The fact that the Trinity is not an analogy or a comparison to something you're familiar with, something visible in the world, that is a strength of these creeds. It is not a weakness. We wish to confess what has been revealed to us about God by God in His Holy Scriptures, not to waste our time deducing or speculating or imagining about what He might be or what we want Him to be. In particular, from this long Athanasian Creed, dear Christians, I want you to remember this. We confess that the three persons, as we call them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are one God. And we don't confuse these persons or pretend that they're only part of each other, but neither do we divide their substance into three different gods. This Holy Trinity always was from eternity, without beginning. Father, Son, and Spirit, one God. He is the one who created this world out of nothing in 6 days by His word. Let there be. And so there was. And, as Luther says in his explanation, He still takes care of it and of us. And this we believe. Now, that certainly is not apparent from observation when we see death, disease, and disaster all over the place. But this is what He promises to us, that He is going to, in fact, bring us even past and through death into the resurrection, as St. Peter says. This is revealed in the Scriptures. This is revealed in the Gospel. This is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who stands not only at the center of that Holy Trinity, but at the center of our confession and even, as we count it, at the center of world history. To learn about Jesus Christ is to move beyond just the question of if God or who is God, but to the pressing and urgent matter, is God for me or against me? And in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find the certainty that this Holy Trinity is for us, not against us. And this is what we will hear again tomorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Britt and Micah Odemba, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.